Today we're gonna start on this. I don't know if I'll finish it today or not, but I'll take into consideration the amount of time we're going. But the message today is learning to wait on the Lord. Learning to wait on the Lord. Now, I've been obviously, we're all getting older and such, and I've been experiencing some things personally as far as, tiredness more than anything. It's funny because, when I push my body, my strength is there. But when it comes to just day by day by day by day, I had been struggling. I started struggling with being tired a lot. And so I started praying about it and I started seeking God. Now, I'm not going to share with you what God gave me per se, but what he gave me was, scriptures out of here that I'm going to share with you that's going to help you out. But I'm going to do this in a way that this is more of a teaching rather than just, what God showed me. But as I get into this, I want you guys to understand that there are blessings in waiting on the Lord. Now we're going to understand what that means. By the time I finish this teaching, we're going to understand what it means to wait on the Lord. But I don't think that we do this. I don't think that people tend to do this and spend the time just waiting on the Lord. Now there's in life, there's going to be times when we're believing God for things in our lives and we're in a place where we have to wait on God. And certainly, that's James, 1:4, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. And so I understand that, we kind of know that there's a point from when we pray to when we see the results of prayer, that there's a period of time where we're having to show that patience, that endurance. And that's not what I'm really totally completely talking about. What I'm talking about is spending that time waiting on the Lord, spending that time just waiting on God. And the word that we're going to use carries with it multiple types of meanings to it, and I'm going to get into all of them as I get into this. But I really want to exhort you guys to hear this in the sense of, that God's calling us to spend that time waiting on Him. Jesus said that the Father was looking for those who would worship Him. They would worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for worshipers. And certainly that's part of this, but waiting on Him, spending that time. I've got this one scripture, I can't remember where it's at. I think it's in, it's, I don't even want to say right now, but the scripture basically says, "Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted above the heathen, and I'll be exalted above the earth." And I think that part of our problem with being wrapped up in our lives, being wrapped up, is that we're in this competitive mode, where we're caught up in what's going on in the world. We're caught up in trying to keep up with people and their successes and everything else. We're being pulled along by the world. And the only way you're ever going to break that is spending time waiting on the Lord. You're going to have to do that. And honestly, folks, I think that sometimes things don't work right in our life because we're just not doing that. We're not giving God His place in our lives. So as I get into this, in as much as it's a teaching, I want you to understand that this is not a step one, step two, step three kind of a thing, even though I do share those things with you that'll help you understand, and I will share those things with you that'll help you understand what it means to wait on the Lord. But at the same time, I want us to get into and out of that place of, doing things just because, oh, I got to keep up with, I got to keep my faith strong, or I got to make sure that I get my time in the Word. And certainly that's important. And sometimes that's better than nothing. I mean, when you have the attitude that, hey, I got to spend some time in the Word, so you peel off and you go spend that time in the Word, that's totally right and totally God. Amen. But there are times where God is calling us in to not just, feed ourselves, or not just build ourselves up. Notice the focus is on ourselves. It's, we're doing so much for ourselves, for our ministry, for our lives, for our family. And there's a point where God is calling us to do something for Him, just for Him. And the more we do these things, the more ready we will be to get to heaven. It's not measured in your earthly success. Your status in heaven is not going to be measured by your spiritual prowess. Your status in heaven is going to be measured by how much time you spent just with the Lord, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, letting them minister to you, to speak to you, to love on you, and you to love on them and just spend time with them. And when you make that transition into heaven, you're not going to have that fear of, I hope that God knows me. You know, because you'll know He knows you, because you know Him. Amen? And this is kind of where I'm at. I'm where I'm taking us to, in a sense. All right? So, even though I'm talking about the blessings of waiting on the Lord, you got to understand how important it is, you know, that this isn't just to try and tease you into wanting to do this. There is definite benefits. But as I get into this, you're going to see some interesting things that I hope will help you understand why you're where you're at in life. If you're not in that good place with the Father, you know, I mean, we quote Psalms 91, but the whole basis of Psalms 91 is a blessing. And the reason why very few people really, you know, quote the scriptures is because the whole foundation of it is abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, it's finding your home in His presence and your protection in His presence. And a lot of people don't spend the time to do that. And God's calling us back into, not back, He's calling us into that. You know, to stop thinking in terms of how the world functions. You know, there are some things that I do because it's part of my ministry and my calling and my preaching. And I have to do those things in order to be even decently effective. But even in the midst of that, there are things that I'm supposed to be doing, not just, you know, for me personally, but also there are things that I should be doing for the Lord, that I should be doing and spending that time with Him. And putting myself in that. And I started finding out that part of the reason I was so tired was because I wasn't doing that. And God, I asked Him, I said, Lord, what am I doing? Well, how do I said, I know that I can be strong in You, Lord. Your word says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And Lord, you know, help me get back into that. Lord, help me get back. I said, when I was younger, God, Father, when I was younger, I would get wore out, tired, exhausted, and I could call on that strength, and that strength would come upon me. I said, Lord, you know, what's going on here? Where's my head at? You know, what's, help me with this. Amen. And as I began to seek the Lord on it, and I did a lot of study in the Word, as I began to seek the Lord on it, I began to discover, you know, what was going on. I wasn't waiting on the Lord. I wasn't spending the time waiting on Him to feed that in. And I, you know, I was doing that when I was younger. There were times when I was younger when I would just spend that time with the Lord. You know, I didn't have the pull of the earth. I didn't have the pull of work. I didn't have the pull of the church and so on at the time. And I was just spending that time with the Lord. Sure, I had Bible studies and I was teaching. But it wasn't where my life is now, where it's at now. And God just told me, He says, you know, He goes, look there. And He gave me the scriptures. And as I started searching the scriptures, I started realizing, oh man, there's some things that I've got to get back to that I had lost sight of. And it's an exciting thing. It's an exciting thing to do it. Psalms 27:13 says, now, you know, we're talking about waiting on the Lord. I'm going to give you some of the blessings of what it means to wait on the Lord. And this whole message is built around this one word, to wait. Because that word wait carries with it multiple kinds of usages, I guess you could say, applications and how it could be applied. But Psalms 27:13 through 14 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. Now you'll notice that I would have lost heart there is a lighter font color. And that's because it's not even in the original. It's not in the Greek or in the Hebrew per se. And the scripture actually starts with, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then it goes off into the next thing. And even in the Hebrew interlinear, it adds, I would have despaired, or I had fainted. I love that, I would have despaired, because that's like almost a literal Hebrew translation of how that word unless is being used. Because the word unless there is the word lule, which means if not. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as unless, if not, or except. You know? And so when you see how it's being used, it implies the complete opposite of unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's something very negative there that happens. All right? I would have despaired. I would have fainted. I would have lost heart. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I have. You know, so I know for me that I've not lost heart. All right? But if you're in a place where you've fainted or you've lost heart or you've despaired, you're in a state of despair, it's because you're not waiting on the Lord. And that's the whole point of the next verse, verse 14. You know, David says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, that's how important faith is, people. You know, the word believe there is actually the word used throughout the Hebrew for the word, you know, to believe or to, but it carries more insight to it, because it means to, figuratively, it means to render or be firm or faithful, to render firm or faithful, or be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet. That's a typo, so ignore that. Morally, it means to be true or certain. So unless I had believed, unless I had become firm and faithful toward God and trusted God and believed God and became permanent and quiet in that, I wouldn't have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that word goodness is a word tube, and it's the word, it means goodness, good in the widest sense, especially goodness. You know, concretely, it means the best, the beauty, gladness, welfare, God's welfare in our lives, God's joy, his gladness in our lives, his beauty in our lives. All of that comes out of believing. Amen? But you would have lost heart unless you had believed that you would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 goes on to say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, you'll see the goodness of the Lord. This is the benefit and this is the blessing of waiting on the Lord, is that you will see the goodness of the Lord, because staying in faith requires being strengthened in your heart, being strengthened, you know, against that which you're seeing out there, everything that's prevailing or availing itself to try and stop you from seeing the goodness of the Lord out there requires us being strengthened. Amen. And the promise of God is that wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. And honestly, you could say that it's the process of waiting on the Lord that extends that ability to be encouraged, to have good courage. Good courage is actually one word where it means to be strong. It's the word kasak in the Hebrew, and it means to be strong, figuratively, courageous. And it also means to be obstinate. Obstinate means to be stubborn. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to be strong and to grow strong. So wait on the Lord and grow strong. Wait on the Lord and be stubborn. Refuse to turn from what you've believed, that you believe that you'll see the goodness of God. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Now, the word wait there in both instances here, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, or wait, I say, on the Lord. That word wait is the word kava in the Hebrew, and it means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. So to wait on God is to take the time to begin to bind yourself to God, get yourself twisted up in God. You know, instead of twisted up in the world, get yourself twisted up in God. Figuratively, it means to expect. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to wait, to look for, hope, expect, to wait or look eagerly for. So when it says wait on the Lord, it's telling you to look eagerly for the Lord, to have an expectation towards the Lord. Because you got to see, you got to understand, it's coming on the heels of verse 13. Amen. It's coming on the heels of verse 13. That's actually said. Now, understand, I would have lost heart in the New King James. In the interlinear, if you look at a Hebrew interlinear, in brackets, it actually says, either I had fainted unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or the other one I found, it said I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so, listen to me. Everybody's going through trials. You know, Jesus said, you know, in the world you'll have tribulation. But then he tells us, be of good cheer. You know, being of good cheer means, you know, to show some courage, to have some confidence. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so he's overcome the world. Why would we be of good cheer if he's overcome the world? Because believing on Christ, believing in Jesus, now affords me to overcome the world. And that's what 1 John 5:4 says. You know, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. All right? And, right? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So that even harkens back to Psalms 27:13. You know, in the world you'll have tribulation. And it takes faith to look beyond the troubles that we see. It takes faith to believe that there is good from God waiting for us around the next corner. If we're not in it right now, we're going to step right into the goodness of God. And in the face of all that, not to lose heart. To not quit on God. Not quit on your confidence in God's goodness showing up in your life. And the key to that now is wait on the Lord. If you want to see the goodness of God, you got to wait on the Lord. But if you wait on the Lord, you'll see the goodness of God and he'll strengthen your heart. Because that's what it says right there. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, be courageous, be strong, and he shall strengthen your heart. And the word strengthen there is the word amatz in the Hebrew, and it means to strengthen, to secure, to harden, to make firm, to make obstinate and assure. Isn't that awesome? Ties right back into the whole thing of, where is it at? Where it says, it goes right back to the good courage thing, the kasak, to be obstinate. To strengthen means that God will make you obstinate. He'll make you stubborn to not quit. I you know, when it comes to believing God for things in my body, I can't quit on it. I stay with it. When it comes to believing God for things going on in the earth, I can't quit on it. I believe God. I trust God with it. I pray for what's going on. Start praying. Stop complaining. Start praying. If you find yourself complaining about something, stop that. God hates complainers. Start praying. Father, I'm asking you to help with this. I don't know what to do. I'm complaining about it, but show me what I'm doing wrong or help me with it. I mean, simple prayers, man. Come on. You don't have to get all elaborate with God. He knows where you're at. Amen. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he shall strengthen your heart. Now, that strengthening takes place in our heart. Now, that word heart there is the word leb in the Hebrew. And Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, understanding. And then it says heart, and this is part of Brown Drivers Briggs' definition, defines it as the heart as the seat of courage. As the seat of courage. And he will strengthen your heart, your inner man, your will, your understanding, your mind. And that inside of you is the seat of courage. People, in order for us to endure these days, we're going to have to show some courage. It's time for us to start having courage in this earth. Stop hiding out. Start stepping out. Amen? And show courage. You know, it's funny because, you know, everybody was kind of like, I forget the word now, you know, sequestered, I guess is good enough from the pandemic and everything. You know, we were all huddled up in our homes and stuff. Some of you weren't, some of you had to go to work. You learned real quickly, you know, that God's going to take care of you, you know, that no matter what, God will take care of you. You know, whether you never got COVID or whether you did and just got healed. Some of you got it several times. And God still healed you. But, you know, when you step out, when we finally started stepping out, you know, it strengthened us. And now, man, it's like God strengthened my heart to where I have courage. I go out. I don't fear. I don't fear getting sick. I don't fear getting COVID. You know, and I mean, it just blows my mind just how I've changed. And that's the way we got to be about seeing the goodness of God and being strengthened by God, is that, you know, we've got to have that courage to believe that, you know what, God's going to meet us right where we need to be met, that he's not going to leave us hanging. Some people think that, you know, they can't trust God because God's going to leave them hanging. And, you know, before they even pray, they run off and go to a doctor. Or they run off and go get a loan. Or they, you know, they try to fix things naturally instead of praying first. What if that was all you had? You know, what if there were no doctors? What if there was no, you know, bank you could go get a loan from? What if you didn't have credit cards? You know, I mean, you'd have to truly believe God. And it's funny because that's one of the things that I do. It's like, God, man, Father, the disciples, they didn't have doctors they could run to. I mean, they kind of did, but they didn't know anything compared to what we, you know, supposedly know now. They had to believe God and they toughed it out. And there were times when some of the guys on Paul's team, they got so sick, they almost died. And it was a mercy. You know, Paul called it a mercy that, you know, that they didn't die. God had mercy on them. You know, and it was because, you know, probably overdid something, or, you know, they just shouldn't have been out there when it was raining or whatever, you know, and they got weakened in their, they overworked, whatever it was. There was one guy Paul talks about that on his team where he overworked. He worked so hard that he got sick and almost died. You know, and he shouldn't have, but he took the burden of trying to support Paul and the rest of the team, and he got sick because of it and almost died. God's faithful, man. God is faithful. Amen. But God will strengthen your heart. But he repeats himself. He says, wait on the Lord. And then he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. That's a double statement right in one verse, that God is calling us to spend that time waiting on him. To spend that time binding ourselves together with God. To spend that time expecting. To spend that time looking, waiting and looking for God, hoping. You know, just having that anticipation and expectation towards God. To be eager to look forward to God, what God's doing in our lives. I mean, you know, when I injured my knee really bad, you know, and I was pretty much laid up. I was like, man, I can't wait. Lord, I'm so excited. I can't wait until this thing's healed, man. I didn't talk about it very much, but I want to tell you something. That's because I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't afford to open my mouth. But when you're in a lot of pain, you know, it's easy to give in to the pain. That's the hardest thing. Pain can wear you out. But you got to get the victory. You've got to stand firm. You've got to find that eagerness, that joy of faith, and watch what God does. Amen. So the promise here is that if you wait, spend that time waiting on the Lord, you spend that time binding yourself together with God, you know, getting twisted up with God to where, you know, you don't know if it's God's thoughts or your thoughts. You know, they're so tied together that you're thinking alike, that you have great anticipation for God, with God, and for God. You're easy. It's easy for you to have hope and have expectation. You know that God's moving. You're looking for it. You're expecting it. Amen. Do you know the word expect comes from the Latin, which means if I remember correctly, it's expectare, which means to look for down the line, to look for it, to see it down the line, to have that looking forward to it, looking forward to it and looking to it as coming down the line. Amen. The next thing that God will bless us with, if we learn to wait on Him, look at this. Psalms 37, 8 through 9 says, "Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm." Now, I'm going to kind of twist that up a little bit because I want you to see what's really being said there in the Hebrew. And then it says, in verse 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Those who wait on the Lord. And that word wait again is that word kava, which means to bind together. Those who bind together with the Lord. Now the word wait on, you'll see wait for, you'll see wait on. Those are all extensions of that word kava, okay? So it's like wait the Lord is basically what it's saying. So wait on is implied, wait for, all the same. Wait for the Lord or wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. That word inherit there is the word yarash, and it means to occupy by driving out the previous tenants and possessing in their place. Wow, that's intense. That's how powerful we are. By implication, to seize, to rob, to inherit. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to seize, to dispossess. In other words, to take it away from someone else. To take possession of, to inherit, to disinherit, to cause somebody else to lose that inheritance and to occupy. That's a strong word. And it goes back to when God sent the children of Israel into the promised land to inherit that land. That's the word yarash was the word that was used for that. They had to go in and they had to occupy that land by driving out the previous tenants. Listen to me. You don't have to drive out people out of your land. You got to drive the devil out of your land. Your job is to drive out the previous tenants, those that are holding in ransom what belongs to you. And the promise here is that if you wait on the Lord, you'll inherit the earth. You'll seize it. You'll possess it. You'll take hold of it for yourself. A lot of you, you're out there seeking to do things the world's way to gain possession of your inheritance. But God says, if you wait on Him, you'll inherit the earth. That's like what Jesus taught in Matthew 7 when He taught, you know, seek ye first, or Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What to eat, what to drink, what to wear. All these things will be added to you. And the word added there means to place additionally beside, to lay beside you. God will cause those things to happen on your behalf. But it requires us waiting on the Lord. Now, just as in the verse above it, where you have this negative thing that you have to watch out for, you know, not losing heart and making sure that you believe, here, you got to cease from anger and forsake wrath. All right. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The evildoers are those that are through wrath and anger and everything else, they take and do evil. Now look what, this is spoken to us, people. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. That word cease there, is it means to slacken. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to let drop, abandon, relax, refrain from, forsake. So you got to forsake anger. You got to abandon anger. You got to let it drop. Stop being angry. You got to relax from being angry. Cease from anger. And then forsake wrath. And forsake there is the word asa, and it means to loosen, to relinquish. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to depart from, to leave behind, to leave and let alone. Leave behind wrath. You know, getting mad, getting angry. You know, we're to cut that out. We're to stop doing that. Anger and wrath should no longer be a part of who we are as believers. You understand that? For us to get angry and become full of, you know, wrath is about punishment, just in case you don't know that. Anger is flaring up and getting upset and, you know, getting angry because of a perceived injury or because you don't get something that you believe belongs to you or whatever. And then wrath is that turnaround, that abiding thing that is kind of folded towards hate. Well, there's people in my life that I just don't like. Well, don't like is a mild form of hate. So get rid of it. Because anything they do can cause you to flare up. And look what it says here. It says, do not fret. It only causes harm. And you know, fret, for the most part, in our today, we tend to look at fret as meaning to worry. It's not what it means. Fret does not, the Hebrew word for fret is the word kara. And figuratively, it usually means to blaze up of anger, zeal, or jealousy. To blaze up. I wrote under there, you know, as a colloquialism, it means to get worked up. You're not to get worked up because of anger, zeal, or jealousy. God's calling us to step back from these things, to not get worked up over things. And then it only causes harm. That word causes harm there is the word ra'ah, and it means to spoil, literally by breaking to pieces. Figuratively, it means to make or be good for nothing. Bad, i.e. bad physically, socially, or morally. So do not get worked up. It's good for nothing. Now in the Hebrew, the causes harm there, that ra'ah, is really talking about evil doing. So literal Hebrew there actually says, fret not yourself in any way to evil doing. Fret not yourself in any way to evil doing. KJV is really close to it. It says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now listen to me very carefully. That's kind of what that word kava means. Or ra'ah rather, it's kind of the verb form to spoil or to do, to cause harm, to do evil to somebody, to break something into pieces, to make good for nothing, all right? To make it bad, whether physically, socially, or morally. And fret not yourself in any way to do evil, okay, or in any way to evil doing. Fret not yourself in any way to evil doing. That literal Hebrew is really important here, because what it's actually saying there is that fretting, which is, you know, to blaze up, if you get fired up over something, it's leading you right into evil doing. And that's why it says, do not fret. Do not let yourself get worked up. Do not let yourself become angry, you know, or get blazed up, whether out of anger, whether out of zeal, or whether out of jealousy. Because it'll take you right into that evil doing. And then what does the next verse say? For evildoers, Those who give themselves to that doing for evildoers shall be cut off. They'll be cut off. And so listen to me very carefully. We need to be careful not to give ourselves to those things, get all worked up, get angry and everything else, because it cuts us off. It cuts us off from the promise of waiting on the Lord, which is inheriting the earth. Those things that we need, those things that are part of our lives, that belong to us, that were meant to be ours. You know, God's made a promise. If you wait on the Lord, you'll inherit the earth. But you've got to cut off. You've got to get rid of, you know, everything that justifies you going out and taking whatever you think belongs to you. Holding it against people, paying people back because of what you think they did to you, whether they did it or not, whether it's a perceived injury or whether it's a real injury. To let it go, amen? To be cut off. You know, otherwise we lose, we get cut off from being able to inherit what God has promised us, which is the earth in its fullness. And it goes back to us waiting on the Lord. Amen? All right. Now, the third one, you'll renew your strength. Isaiah 40, 28, 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. The word power there is the word koach, which means it means to be firm, vigor, and in a good or bad sense, or force in a good or bad sense. Figuratively, it means capacity, means, and produce. And also from its hardiness, a large lizard. Now, God's not going to give you a large lizard, but why I left that in there was because of the hardiness part of it. He gives hardiness to the weak. He gives power to the weak. He gives, you know, he gives vigor, which is physical energy, physical strength. He gives capacity, you know, capability. He gives means, you know, he gives produce. He gives those, he gives these resources. He gives you what is needed. He gives what is needed to, in the form, you know, that becomes power to the weak. And the weak here is the one that's fatigued or exhausted. He gives power to the weak. So if you're going to really look at it that way, the weak being fatigued and exhausted, then the power he's going to give is that vigor. He's going to give them that heart. He's going to give that person hardiness. He's going to give them force. Amen. He's going to make them, he's going to give them capacity, physical capacity in whatever they need. Isn't that awesome? And to those who have no might, he increases strength. And the word might there is the word on, and it means in the sense of effort, but successful, it means ability and power. Those that have no ability, no power, he increases strength. And that word increases is the word rabba, which means to increase in whatever respect. He increases it. And strength, it's the word otzma, which means powerfulness. By extension, numerousness. So if you're lacking in that ability and power, he's gonna come along and he's gonna multiply to you powerfulness and numerousness. He's gonna make you greater, powerful in that way. Think about Abraham, as this is like a blessing of Abraham. Think about Abraham. The kings came, multiple kings came. And fought the kings of the in the plain around Sodom and Gomorrah. All those kings, there were several kings around there, fought them and defeated them and took all their substance and all the people. Three kings of three city states, and they were defeated. Abraham finds out that they take Lot, and he gets his men who were trained in war, and there's like a little bit over 300 of them. I mean, that's not an army. You know, that's kind of just like a platoon or something like that. Maybe not even that. But he took a little over 300 men And he went and beat those kings down, chased them down and beat them down, and took back the people, chased off the other armies, and took back the people and the goods with just a little over 300 men. I don't know if it was 316 or 319. I can't remember. A little over 300 men. And whooped them. Now, if that's not God giving and increasing his strength, you know, giving him power and increasing his strength, I don't know what is. Because, you know, he went after those men that these other kings couldn't defeat. And they were multiple cities. They weren't small cities. They had enough. They were big enough to be city states, you know, and they got whooped. And so, you know, Abraham, living in tents out in the wilderness, he pulls together 300 of his trained men that were trained to fight, and he went after them and beat them down and took back the people and the goods. That's the blessing that God's talking about here, is that you don't have to look at your life and go, oh, I don't have what it takes. God gives you what it takes to overcome. So with those that have no might, you know, he increases strength. Those that have no ability or power, he increases their powerfulness and their numerousness. Amen. And then it goes on to say, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, Kava here, those who bind themselves together in the Lord, and they develop their expectation in him, they know where they stand with him, they know what to expect from him. And they have expectation, they're eager in their waiting on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. That word koash, their vigor, you know, their force, their capacity, means produce, their hardiness. They will renew their hardiness. And the word renew there is actually interesting. It doesn't mean renew as we typically, I mean, Brown Drivers Briggs adds that in there. But the word literally means to change or to substitute, to alter, to change for better. So it should actually read, they will exchange their strength. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew, shall exchange their strength, their koach. They'll get more, stronger, coming from God. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And the word weary there at the end, they shall run and not be weary, is the word yaga. And it means to gasp. They won't be exhausted. They won't tire. They won't toil. And they shall walk and not faint. And the word faint there is the word ya'af, which means to tire as if from wearisome flight. They will not tire. They won't get tired. They won't faint. They'll have the strength. If you wait on the Lord, you have the endurance for this life. You have the endurance that you need to live this life the way you are meant to live it. This is our God, people. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. And his understanding is unsearchable. You can't mine out God's knowledge and understanding. But he gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Guys, God is calling us to a time of strength in our lives. We're to stand up and be counted. We're to rise up and stop being like young men that faint and are weary and utterly fall. I don't want to utterly fall. I don't want to be weary. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to give up because I can't do it no more. And God promises, he promises that if we wait on him, he'll renew our strength. If we wait on him, we'll run and not be weary. If we wait on him, we'll walk and we'll not faint. If we wait on him, we'll mount up with wings like eagles. And the word mount up there literally means to rise up. to rise up, just glide up, to rise up with wings like eagles. Isn't that awesome? Now, how we wait on the Lord. I'm going to give you some simple things that you can take and work on and start doing so that you can prepare and begin to build these things. Number one, find your hope, your patience, and expectation in His Word, what He has spoken. Psalms 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. And that word waits, the word kava. I bind myself to the Lord. I bind up with the Lord. I get twisted up in the Lord. My soul waits, and in His Word I do hope. My soul waits. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And the word soul there is nephesh, which Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as that which breathes, the breathing substance or being. Soul, the inner being of man. This is something we do with our inner being, people, with the breath of our life, our inner being. You know, find yourself, man, where you're quiet before the Lord and you start breathing out worship. You start breathing out praise. You just start breathing out your love to the Father. Breathe it out of your inner being. Get your being involved in it, your whole being, you know. And as you do that, you know, as you let your soul wait, kava again, He waits. My soul binds up together with the Lord. My inner man gets caught up in the Lord. And in His Word, I do hope. And the word hope is the word yakal, which means to wait. By implication, to be patient, hope. Brown Drivers Briggs, to wait, to hope, expect, to wait for, to hope for. You got to get in His Word. That's the first thing. In His Word, I find my hope. I don't find my hope in vagaries out here, you know, where like I'm looking out there and I'm looking at, you know, a new place and I'm looking at a new thing or I'm looking at something different. Or I don't put my hope in that. I get my heart in the Word. And in the Word, as I spend time in the Word, reading the Word, meditating on the Word, you know, just taking it in and thinking about it. As I do that, I find in that it gives me hope. In His Word, I do hope. The hope, the Word becomes the source of your hope. So the first step of waiting on the Lord is to spend time in His Word until the hope starts building up, until the hope starts coming. You know, and as you do that, as you spend that time reading and meditating on it and thinking about it, and being with God, because, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You're spending time with God Himself. You're spending time with Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been sent to teach and instruct you concerning the Word. And as you do that, you're melding in together with God more than you can ever even imagine, people. You know, some people get open their Bibles, they read their one chapter, and they go, okay, I did that, and they walk away. They don't take the time to look at the Word as being the way that they wait on the Lord. You read, you study, you meditate until that hope begins to rise up out of that Word into you and in through you. And that's you connecting to God and being bound up to God. When you're wrapped up in the hope of the Word, when you're wrapped up in the Word, when you have been bound together in that and you're twisted up in it, that's waiting on the Lord. The next thing, seek Him. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. Good. He is good to those who wait for Him. The word wait is the word kava again. To bind together, to wait, to look for, to hope, to wait or look eagerly for. The Lord is good. And that word good is the word tov in the Hebrew. And it means, Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as, I don't use Strong's here because Strong's just says good and then it gets into a bunch of other things, but it just says good. I like Brown Drivers Briggs because it gives it some variation of understanding. Defines it as good. He's kind. God is good to those. He is kind to them. He's benign to those who wait for Him. And benign means gentle and kindly. God is good to those who wait for him. He's kind to them and he's gentle with them. To wait, though, to those who wait for him, kava, to the soul, nefesh, that which breathes again. That's my soul waits. You know, it goes back to, are we doing this from the inner being, from our spirit, from our heart out? Nefesh, that which breathes, the breathing substance or being. The soul, the inner being of man. To those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So we need to seek him. God is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. God is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. That's how you wait for him. You seek him from your soul, from your inner being. All right? And that word seeks there is a word darash in the Hebrew, and it means to tread or frequent. You do this frequently. You tread with God. You walk with God. You do this frequently with God. And it means usually to follow for pursuit or search. By implication, to seek or ask, specifically to worship. Specifically to worship. To the soul who worships him. To the soul who seeks him. To the soul who asks, who follows after him for pursuit or search. In this case, it's for search. You know, we're not following after somebody to pursue them in the sense of persecute. We're following for search. We want to know. We want to understand. We want God in us. We want him to be real. We want his reality commingled with us. Not the idea of God, the reality of God commingled in us. He abides in us. But for most of us, he abides in us as an idea, not as a reality. Amen? To seek him. You know, to spend the time in the Word till you get that hope, and then seek him through that. Father God, I'm asking you, Father. I want to know. I want you, Father. Seeking him means you want him. To the soul who seeks him. To the soul who seeks him. You got to want God. You got to want the Father. And it, you know, and I could have put this up there as one of the blessings. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. You know, I just figured I'd add it here now. To the soul who seeks him. God is good. He's kind. He's beneficial. He's benign. He's gentle and kindly to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him. God is our focus, people. He's who we should be after. He's who we should be after. Amen. And then finally, those who keep his way. If we keep his way, that's how we wait for the Lord. Psalms 37:34 says, wait on the Lord. And that word waits kava again. Bind yourself together to the Lord. To wait or look eagerly for the Lord. And keep his way. And keep his way. And keep his way. And that word keep there is the word shamar, and it means to guard, generally to protect or attend to. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to keep, guard, observe, or give heed. So we should be giving heed and observing and attending to and protecting and guarding his way. And the word way there is the word derech, which means a road is trodden, figuratively a course of life or mode of action. In other words, we should be observing God's course of life, his mode of action, rather than ours. We should be preserving those. We should be seeking to make sure, this is what it means to guard, to make sure that we're walking in his way, not in our way. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Walk in his way. Observe his way of doing things, his way of his mode of action, his course of life. And look at the promise on the other end of this. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Isn't that awesome? In other words, this is last man standing, people. Last man standing will be the righteous, those who wait on the Lord and keep his way. The wicked, when they are cut off, you'll see it. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome thing. So three things that we do. One is we spend the time in the Word to hope and to go after Him through the Word until the Word begins to bubble up with hope in us. Amen. To bubble up and in that place of patience, and we have patience, we have that expectation, you know. The next thing you do is you seek Him. You go after Him. That's what waiting on the Lord is. Seeking Him from your heart. Following Him. Worshiping Him. Tread or frequent. I like that because, you know, you're it's like going, you know, getting to know your neighbor. You spend time getting to know them, and you're frequent. You're there, you know, not all the time because that could wear them out, but you know, it's like you're spending time. God, with God, you could be there all the time. He would love it. You know, and if not, He'll tell you, go do something. You know, it's like, hey, you need to be doing something. Go do this. He'll tell you. God's told me before to wait for them. And the soul who seeks Him. And then just keeping His way. You know, God's called us to walk a certain way in this life, people. We're children of God. We're believers. We're all connected to Christ. We're born again. You know, in that sense, we're Christians, if you want to look at it that way. But we're believers. We're the body, amen, of Jesus. And so this is how we wait on the Lord. We walk in His ways. You know, find out what Jesus is, get in the Word. You know, the Word is clear about how we ought to live and how we ought to conduct ourselves and how we ought to walk. Amen. Start doing it. Amen.